Am I on? Yes, I'm on. The name Carla is probably very familiar, or should be very familiar to a lot of us. Oh, thank you. This is the stagehand. John is telling me that he and his two brothers were born in Hope, and when Sean was 10 years old, they moved to Enderby. So they have been part of our church for a long while, and we are proud to be able to say that we help and contribute to the missions work in Ireland with Joel and Bryce, and we are delighted to have you with us this morning. I need to apologize to Cindy and Virginia. Singing with Virginia is Sean's wife, Cindy, and thank you, Virginia, for helping us out in that regard. Sean, I would like you to come up with you, please. They are nearing the end of 3 months furlough and heading back to Hungary in a week or so. Yeah. Well, we are just delighted to have you with us, and what you want to share with us this morning, what God has laid on your heart, and we thank you very much for being with us this morning. God bless you.
Well, good morning to all of you. We bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Christ in the country of Hungary. As we were getting ready to come on our home assignment back at the end of August, we were in fellowship with our little fellowship group. There's not a lot of believers in our city yet, but we're trusting God that he's going to bring a harvest. But as we were talking with our little fellowship there, they were asking us, well, where are you all traveling in Canada when you go back? And so we told them the different places, BC, out to Manitoba, and so on. And they said, well, be sure to greet every congregation that you meet and bless them in Jesus' name. So greetings from Hungary to all of you. And we want to thank you as a church for praying for us, for following our ministry. We've been really blessed by First Baptist. We've had different ones like Virginia and David come to serve, and you stood right with them, you prayed for them, and you helped them financially, as well as Lydia Lichty has served a number of times in Hungary, and we're so thankful that she's been able to come. And others from the Lichty clan have visited us in Topolca. So Bernie and Cammie were there in the spring as well, and Jaden Lichty also served in the summer camp, so it's been great. And we certainly welcome others from First Baptist to come and serve in Topolca. So there's opportunities to serve in Hungary. And again, though, we want to thank you for praying for us and being a part of the ministry in Hungary. So we've served quite a few years in Hungary. Shundi's Hungarian. She's my wife, so she grew up there. She's very familiar with the country. We met in Budapest and were married in 2002. The Lord has blessed us with three boys. And for quite a few years, we served in Budapest on a bigger missionary team. But about 5 years ago, we moved to this city called Topolca, where there's very little gospel witness. And Hungary, many years, was a communist country. And even today, 25 years, they've been free. Yet we can still see the effects of communism in the country today. And one of those effects is that there's large areas of Western Hungary that have no gospel preaching churches. We have state churches, but in many ways, they're just formalistic. They don't preach the gospel. And so that's why we've gone to Topolca. It was a big step of faith. But we see the need, and we've been sharing the gospel, planting seeds, and we're praying that God is going to bring a harvest. So I'd like to share some pictures with you. I think they'll give you the best idea of some of the different ministries that are ongoing there. And you can see here the city of Topolca. There's 130 people living in our area without a gospel church. There's a view of the area there. It's a lot like the Okanagan. This is the center of Topolca. It's a beautiful little town. And we use English as a tool to reach out. We have an English Bible study that meets each week, as well as English clubs for adults and for children. They meet every week, and we have an opportunity to help them with their English, but also share the Bible with them every time they come. And there's some of the kids. As well, we reach out to the youth, teenagers. It's challenging. None of these teens come from Christian families. So they're not necessarily that committed to coming to a youth group. But we're serving amongst teens. Shindy's gifted in music, and so is Lydia. And in the summer times, we have camps. And this summer, we are thankful to have three different camps for adults, kids, and teens. There's our little son, Adam. Our family is very much involved in summer camps. So we're thankful to have 140 campers that came this summer. And they're right there, Peter in the glasses. This was his third summer at teen camp, and he gave his heart to Christ this summer. So it was a real encouragement to us. Okay, here's kids camp. And this year we had a great team that came from Miller Bible College. They're a musical choir as well. But they came to help in teaching English at the camp. And every part of the camp is Bible stories as well as craft time. And that's where the Lichty family as well has served. And here's a shot of the English class. We have lunch for them every day that we cater in. And the Miller team bought this great big plastic tarp. The kids had a great time sliding. Another craft picture. There's lots and lots of things that happen at camp. English class, and every day we have a Bible chapel time. There's our son David. So the boys all take active part in camp. And it was great. We had 70 plus kids this summer who came. At the end, we present them with a little Bible from their teachers, and they can take that home. And there's a picture of all the kids that came. The Miller College gave two concerts in Tupolt's area, plus they traveled around. They did a fantastic job in sharing Christ. We have other special events that we do. Christmas is coming up. So often before Christmas, we'll have the Advent craft time. This was around Easter time. We had an Easter program. And here's Valentine's program that we did. And Shindy singing with some of the kids from our area there. This is Deju. He's serving in Tupolt right now, a Hungarian believer. And hopefully he'll continue on some more months. Terry and Emily are from Chicago. They've been serving while we've been away, as well as Steve and Denise, who are there right now. Roger, who's 77, he came to help us in September, and it was great that he was able to be there. Here's our little picture of our little family, and we're with the Canadian Evangelical Free Church Mission, and we're serving in Hungary for some 18 years now. So those are some pictures, and gives you an idea of some of the different events that are going on, some of the different ministries, and we would certainly ask you to pray that God would establish his church in the area of Hungary where we're at. For all of Hungary, they would say that it's about 1% of the population would be evangelical Christians, Bible-believing Christians. In our area, I don't think it's even a quarter of a percent. Very few people you meet in Tupolt that would say, yes, I believe in Christ, and he's my Savior. So there's a great need that God would work in that city and in the area. Please pray for those that are serving there right now, especially for Deju. He's considering continuing to serve in Tupolsa with us, and that would just be fantastic. And that's one of our prayer requests, too, would be that God would lead others short-term, but also long-term, to be a part of the ministry team there. It would just be a real, real encouragement to us. So a part of camp that we have each day is we have chapel time. And we always sing with the kids. So I'm going to ask Shindy and Lydia to come on up here. And you're going to hear a song in Hungarian. And the words will be up here on the screen so you can follow along.
We'll have a translation for you up on the PowerPoint. Is this mic on, Peter? Yeah. Okay. Should I?
nincsben igazi érték, mert minden át segít. Az élet néha bonyolul, nem is mindig értem én. De kell, hogy a szívben ott legyen a hit, szeretet, remény. A három dolog közül legnagyobb a szeretet. Meg mindent elhordossa kell, sok véker elfedel. A szeretet nem fogy el sosem, szeretet ápíz az életen. Mindent elhisz és remél, a szeretet mindennél többet ér. A szeretet nem fogy el sosem, a szeretet ápíz az életen. Mindent elhisz és remél, szeretem mindennél többet ér. Senki nem tud úgy szeretni, ahogy az Úr szeret. Ha elhagyja mindenki, ő megmarad neked. Mert nem tud nem szeretni, hiszen ő a szeretet. Mindent elhordossa kell, sok véket elfedel. A szeretet nem fogja el sosem, a szeretet ápíz az életen. Mindent elhisz és remél, a szeretet mindennél többet ér. A szeretet nem fogja el sosem, a szeretet ápíz az életen. Mindent elhisz és remél, a szeretet mindennél többet ér, többet ér.
Lydia is quite a professional in Hungarian, as you can tell.
Yes, so Hungarians love music, they love singing, and that's something that we use at camps, and also at our English clubs too. Every night we sing a chorus with our students to share with them God's love and the wonderful gift that all of us can receive from Jesus Christ, salvation. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, and I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's a great psalm of praise from King David to God. This is what David wrote. I will exalt you, my King, my God. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your work to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all of his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. So these are the words of King David. He was a great and a very powerful king. Israel was one of the world powers at the time that he ruled. And it would have been very easy for David, like other kings, to get pretty puffed up, to get pretty proud, and to think, like, I'm the greatest. But here we see in this psalm, this is David's testimony that God is God. I'm not, and only God is great. That's what we see here. That's David's testimony. And he praises God for many different things. And at the beginning of the psalm here, we see that David praises God for the great wonders that God has done. So how did David know of God's greatness? If we look over at Psalm 19, verse 1, David wrote this. He said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands." And if we go down to verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." So here again, another psalm of David. How did David know of God's greatness? He looked out and about, and he looked up and saw the greatness of God displayed before. And also, he learned of God's greatness from his word. The Bible, the scriptures declare to us God's greatness. And not too long ago, I was outside working in one of our little sheds, and my little son, Adam, he came running up to me, and he's very excited, and he said, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, you got to look up at the sky. There's the moon up there." And I was like, first thought, well, Adam, it's a nice sunny day. Why is the moon going to show up on a nice sunny day? But I did look up before I said anything, and sure enough, I could see the moon in the blue sky. There was an outline of it. So at some points, we can see the moon, even during the day. And where we live, outside the city, on a dark night, we can look up on a clear night, and we can see all the many, many stars that are up above us. And I think that's what King David did as well. He saw the stars and God's handiwork in the universe around him. And in Psalm 147, this is what is written in that psalm, verse 4 and verse 5, "God determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." So when we think of just our Milky Way, this one galaxy where we are and our planet Earth is here, researchers say that there's at least 100 billion stars in our own galaxy. And there could be many more. They can't tell exactly how many. And David says here in Psalm 147, God knows every single star by name. And there's 10 billion galaxies out there, they tell us, in the universe, with massive numbers of stars. And God knows every star by name. It's amazing. So if we were to sit down and decide, like, okay, let's count to a billion. And we're not going to take any pauses. We're not going to stop. We're just going to continuously count every second up to a billion. You know how long that would take us? A long time. It would be 31 years, 251 days, 7 hours, 46 minutes, and 40 seconds for a person to count from 1 to a billion without a stop. So when you think of all those stars that are out there, and that God has named every one, and he knows every one of them, that is amazing. It shows us the greatness, the awesomeness of our God. God is truly awesome. And yet, we see that God, the creator of the universe, he cares about each and every one of us. Every person, he knows their name as well. And he knows who we are. And he knows all the details about our lives. And David, again, he gives witness to how great God is. Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, David wrote this. He said, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. And in these verses, the focus of David is how wonderful God is, our Creator. It is true, our bodies are amazing, but we're not fantastic. We're not the wonderful ones. God is the wonderful one who has created us. And at the end of October, I went in for an eye exam to get my eyes checked, and they took pictures of both of my eyes. And later on, the eye doctor showed me on his computer monitor, and he said, "Here you go, Sean. This is what the inside of your eyes look like." And I was like, "Wow." And it was very intriguing. And a little bit later, I was reading a book called Creation, God's Amazing Design in Nature by Grant Jeffrey. And there was a section in there that he wrote about the human eye and how amazing our eyes are. And God has given us eyes so that we can have vision, so we can see all the wonderful things that he has made. So, in the book that Jeffrey wrote, he wrote this. In the mother's womb, the genetic DNA code that governs the eye, it programs the baby's body in the womb to begin growing optic nerves simultaneously, both from the optic center in the brain and from the eye. A million microscopic optic nerves begin growing from both directions and must find and match up to its precise mate to enable vision to function in the eye. So if you stop and consider that, in the womb, the little baby in the womb has all of that happening just so that the eye can function, just so we can have vision. A million optic nerves coming from either side and joining together perfectly so that we can see. That is a miracle. And I don't care what anybody says, that did not happen by random chance over many, many billions of years. That was God's creation. And the eye is complex. It's amazing. When we look at our eye, there's the retina that's in the back of it. The retina is not very big. It's thinner than paper is. It's only a square inch in size. And yet, it's amazing what the retina can do. There's 137 million light-sensitive cells that make up the retina. And each of those cells, those millions of cells, each has its own connection to the optic nerve. And they work together so that we can see. About 95% of the cells in our retina work so that we can see black and white images. And the other 7 million work so that we can see color. And it all works together. And as we look around us, the objects that come to our vision first come into the eye upside down. Our retina, the cells in the retina, turns it over. And before the messages are sent to our brain, it's already right at the picture of what we're seeing all around us. And that's going on in seconds. Literally, a second. There's millions of calculations that the eye is doing, that the retina is doing. So if man was to make a supercomputer and want to duplicate what the eye does, what the retina does, in just 1 second, it would take many, many years for that computer to do what the eye does in 1 second. That's how God has created our eye. Just one little part of our body. And he wants us to see the wonders of creation around us, to see how great he is. And truly, if we look around, there's many things that we can wonder at how great God is. David goes on in the Psalm 145 here, and in verses 8 and 9, he declares that we praise God for his grace and for his love and for his goodness to us. So as we look at ourselves, all of us are sinners. All of us are broken. None of us can please God by trying to do good things to please him, to work our way to heaven. All of us deserve God's judgment. Yet God in his love has made a way for us to receive forgiveness and to be made right with him. And this is so well brought out in Romans chapter 3. Romans 3 from verse 21. Says here, Romans 3:21, a righteousness from God has been made known to all. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sin committed beforehand unpunished. God did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies the man who has faith in Jesus. So we can praise God for Jesus Christ. Jesus willingly laid down His life to take our punishment, to take God's wrath upon Himself in our place. And in Jesus, we can be made righteous. And Jesus is the one that meets God's demand for justice. God is holy, and He's just. God cannot overlook sin. But He's made a way for all of us through His Son to be forgiven. And God, when He looks at us, He sees us as righteous in Jesus. And He looks at us and He says, "You are a believer in My Son. I declare you not guilty." We can praise God for His Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 145, 18 and 19 speak to the wonderful, amazing work of God who saves. We can praise God for His salvation work. David says this: "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them." And that's what happens when the Lord reaches down and saves someone from their sin. He makes them a new creation. He makes them a new person. He gives them new spiritual life. And I'm going to call Timmy, our friend who's been traveling with us the last number of weeks. Before we came on home assignment, Shindu was wondering, how are we going to do homeschooling with all three boys of three different grades and Adam starting grade one? You know, I think I need some help. And we prayed, and Timea volunteered to come, and she's traveling with us with her daughter. Virag and Kellen are in the same grade, so they've been studying together. And 11 years ago, we asked you as a church to pray for Timea and for her family. And I want you to listen to her story, the story of God's grace.
Good morning. I would like to connect to Sean that God knows us, and God know me, and because He created me and gave me the gift learning languages easily, and that's why how we met, because I wanted to learn English or improve my English knowledge, and I was looking for somebody who is a native speaker and living in Hungary. And I met Sean and Shandy. They were leading an English conversation club. And I got to know them. And during this time, I got to know Jesus. And I really just wanted to learn English, but I met in their home with Jesus Christ and with His love and kindness, and so they could show me how the life with Jesus is, and I accepted him as a savior, and the lives went on, and some months or a year later, my husband said he's thinking he will move away, and It was a hard time for me, but God was very close to me and helped to survive. And at that time, Sean and Shandy came to us. They moved to Budapest, so we met at their first place where they served in Hungary. Then at that time, they moved a bit further, but they were willing to come and to share with my husband the good news, and they bought a present from Canada from a cowboy in Bow Island, a rope, and my husband heard that many people in Canada are praying for us. It touched really his heart, and we all began to change, and now he accepted Jesus as a savior too. He stayed, and we leave each other much more than before. And so now we try to use our own job, our business, to share the gospel with the people in Hungary. We keep horses. That's why he felt close, the cowboy, to him, and his special gift and his special prey. And we can reach a lot of people. We meet a lot of them, with lots of family and kids, and we try to share the gospel. I have some pictures about that. He's my husband with one of our horses. And that's our stable in the back. But it's I've got a son too. He is on the right side. He can ride the horse very well and jumping because his father is teaching him. So at that time he was just 5 years old. No, he's 16, more than 16. That's our garden and our house. But we can use, so we can sit here by the outside and to share a Bible verse with people who are coming to us. They are adults, but we have also young youth camps for horse riding, and we always share something from the Bible with them. So both of our kids are helping a lot. Thanks God, we can work together, and we have the opportunity spending a lot of time now together. And we have the opportunity to take out families for a trial with a horse pulled carriage and make special team building trainings also. There is a special event every year, a hunting riding, where we invite many people, and even by these occasions we pray and give thanks for God helping us. My husband is able to lead the prayer lessons at the church, in the Baptist church, and he is a friend of my husband who also accepted God, and we have many students too. They have accepted Jesus as a savior. And that's our last picture before coming here in Canada at the airport. Thank you very much, and thank you for your prayers, and we'll also pray for you too. Thank you.
So in hearing a story like that, don't you just want to say, praise God for what he's done in their family? When we first met Shawnee, he was super cold to us. He didn't want to talk to us even. And there was an odd time, though, we did get a little bit of conversation with him. And I talked to him about, like, well, you know, with your job, you horseback teach horseback riding and so on. So, like, why do you do it? And he said, well, you know, why I do it? So that it's good for the horses. I don't care about the people. That was his attitude when we first met him. And yet God has totally changed him. And they're evangelists. They're reaching out and sharing Christ with others. So we can praise God for so much. There is so much. And I'm sure if we were to go around the room this morning, there are stories that each of you have, those of you who are believers in Christ, you can give praise to God for how he's changed you in your life. That's the wonderful thing that God does. He changes us. There's so much we can praise the Lord for. So this Psalm 145 is full of praise to God. So what are we as believers to do? Those of us who are captivated by God. David says and encourages us, we are to praise God. We are to bless his name. We are to tell the next generation about God's greatness, about his mighty works. We are to be awed by his grace, by his love and his mercy. And as believers, we are both to fear and to love God. and our desires are satisfied alone in God, who is our Savior and our Keeper. So these are words of encouragement to all of us to praise the Lord, to always praise God every day. And there's so much we can praise God for. Scripture encourages us to do so. And may we all grow in this area of knowing how great and how awesome our God is, and to praise Him for His greatness. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to praise You this morning for Your greatness, for Your awesomeness. We want to thank You too and praise You for Your love. Praise You for the wonderful way of salvation that's open to all of us. Father, we thank You so much for Your love, for Your goodness to us, for the fact that we can walk in light. We praise You that You are our Creator, You are our Savior. You are the one who is preparing a place for us in heaven where we will be with You eternally. Lord, that makes us excited, and we look forward to that, Lord. But in this life, Lord, help us to be faithful to You. Help us to be witnesses to others, to declare the truth to others around us of Your greatness. And Lord, help us to walk with You, to walk worthy, that You would walk in us, Lord. And we just, again, praise You for Your wonderful, wonderful work that You do and for who You are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Sean. I forgot to mention this morning would normally have been our communion, but we will be celebrating communion next Sunday. Thank you for giving us a real insight into your ministry in Hungary, and we will continue to pray for all of you as you go forward. And so we pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, make His face to shine upon you, and give you His peace. Amen. You are dismissed.